We're live.
Hello, and welcome back to the next episode of The Furry Raiders. I am your most humblest of the bad orange doggos, Avera. And joining me today is Noble.
Morning.
Hello. All right. And next up we have the almighty Red Wolf.
Yo, what's up?
All kinds of stuff, buddy. And furthermore, we have Liz Dixon.
Hello, hello.
Hello, great to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, let's just dive right in to the first story we have.
All right. U.S. audiences can't get enough of Japan's anime action shows.
Which is absolutely true.
This is the fun part. American viewers interested in Japanese anime live action, anime and live action content has soared in the past year, according to a report. Foreign shows find more demand in from audiences aimed at the blah blah blah.
In anime programs gauged from audience behavior online was up 33% in the first quarter from just a year ago in the United States. Measures audience demand for television content shown on the internet, and market research company Global Connects. So basically what this article is saying is a lot of people in the United States are very interested in Japanese anime due to the pandemic. Wow, who would have thought that people who are locked in their homes are going to get addicted to anime?
Yeah, well,
that's a shocker.
That's nothing new.
U.S. audiences' demand for Japanese language live-action shows doubled in the same period, it said. American viewers were also most interested in Japanese content compared with other foreign language offerings, accounting for roughly one-third of demand over the past six quarters, according to the report. It topped Spanish language content at 21% and Korean programming at 11%.
Wow, and that's really interesting, considering that Spanish is one of the top languages on the planet. And Japanese, as popular as anime is, it's not a very well-spoken language across like the entire world, you know?
No, I don't think it's really spoken around here too much, is it?
Maybe, a little bit, but it's not really as common as like something like Spanish would be. So that's very interesting.
Barrett said its analysis of audience interest took into account customer interaction with television content online using data such as open stream platforms, search engine queries, and social media interactions. Streaming services, including Netflix, typically do not release viewership numbers. Okay, so these aren't like your 100%. This is exactly what it is. This is more than just gathering up and going, oh, we're going to take this as a final number. It's a real shame Netflix won't release their viewership. But then again, I suppose Disney does the same thing, don't they?
I wonder if they don't release it because it might affect like their stock market,
or maybe they don't want to tell the truth about when their viewer rating is like kind of like low. They don't want to tell the truth sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting like Rotten Tomatoes like on their platform. Like, well, most audience didn't like this, so most audience are not going to like that. Or whatever program that they're promoting.
There is some people who do watch the Japanese stuff over here, but a lot of the foreign viewership is Korean programming over here in Hawaii.
That's really interesting. And I imagine it, the animation is probably really, really good.
Yeah, a lot of people are into the Korean stuff. Don't ask me why. I have no idea.
Well, there's a bunch of studios that are incredible in Korea. Especially, like, when you look at iconic, you know, images, or not images, shows like Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
That was animated in Korea by Korean
studios. I actually loved that show.
Yeah, that was animated in Korea.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it was a huge hit.
Yes, so they kind of implemented like some of those American like animation type of styles plus the Asian styles. Really was something else. I believe there were like three different studios in South Korea that animated Avatar.
Wow. But
anyways.
The market for foreign produced content in the US is growing amid the pandemic. And some shows like Netflix television series Allison, is it Borderland?
Borderland.
Borderland 2020 have found new international audiences, with people largely stuck at home or unable to go to the movie theaters. Or entertainment giants now battling it out in the field of streaming services. Japan's anime content has largely been identified as a way to draw new subscribers. A demand for live-action Japanese shows is being fueled by people looking for more programming after becoming familiar with anime, the report said. I cannot pronounce that name without butchering it horribly.
Mr. T.S. I guess we could just go with that.
Netflix's chief anime producer said in an interview in March that half of the company's global subscribers had watched at least one anime title, and it plans to release 40 more this year. I will have to say this. I have been finding some more modern animes rather fun to watch. Unfortunately, when it comes to things like... I used to watch Supergirl, but that got just bad as the seasons went on, and I've completely dropped it off. And there's been a few other shows I've had to stop watching. It's just been terrible.
Oh, okay. I'm not really super into anime.
Welcome back. Japan is home to old and new anime titles whose value with audiences internationally has likely yet to be fully unlocked. In the past pandemic year, a film based on Demon Slayer, I am not good at pronouncing that part, franchise broke Japanese box office records. Its title series is available to stream internationally on multiple services, and the movie has made $37.1 million in US cinemas, according to Box Office Mojo.
Well, that's good. I mean, I wonder, like, what their budget was, like, before they did this. Was it $2 million? And then they made, like, that much back?
Other
it doesn't really matter.
Also getting in on the action last year, Sony made $1.2 million bid for the anime streaming service Crunchyroll from AT&T, with a deal currently under review by antitrust regulators.
Oh my god.
In 2019, HBO Max licensed the US streaming rights for a trove of films by famed Japanese creator. I am not going to try to pronounce that name. Alright, so that's the end of the title. Now, I have to push back to the whole point about why Americans are sort of failing to the point where they are. So it turns out that 10% of viewers, of whether it's reading comic books, watching movies, TV shows, this is coming from the comic book side, sorry. It was only 10% of their audience reading comic books that were on Twitter. And yet, of that, I think it was something like 4 or 6% of people were promoting the new wave of how stories are being told. So comic book writers and the authors and all that go, okay, we're going to push this sort of rhetoric, and their audience just basically drops off. Gee, I wonder why.
No clue.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the original Star Wars is still good to watch for crying out loud. The latest one just makes you sit there thinking, what the hell is this? Yeah, but as I was saying before, I've come across shows myself where they started off good. They started running down, and then they've completely, well, gone off the rails. And then you got shows like Batwoman where they couldn't even keep the damn actor on.
True. Oh, goodness. No.
Yeah. They had to pull Doctor Who and switch out Batman, Batgirl.
Oh, my God. Doctor Who. Don't even get me started. I cannot stand the female Doctor Who.
They ruined that.
Well, it's like STD. I mean, you turn around and give a starship basically technology from a different timeline, and then you throw it in pretending it's all, oh, hey, you know, back at this period, you know, for the last 30 years has it been? They turn around and have a timeline.
Since like the 70s, probably like 45 years, man.
Star Trek started in the 60s before I was born, thank you.
That is so absolutely bonkers.
And then STD comes on and rewrites the whole thing.
I'm telling you. But no, they ruined Doctor Who. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the same with what STD did with Star Trek. I don't understand why.
I don't either. It's weird how they do stuff like that.
The Doctor could also be a strong female protagonist, right, guys?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, let's go ahead and put a woman and ruin the show, why don't we?
They've already had a female Doctor.
Yeah, basically.
No, there was a...
y'all are trying to change the damn shit about the show. Like, come on.
Going back to the 90s, there was a... the BBC had, like, this comedy thing on YouTube. And they had the Doctor go through a few changes. Rowan Atkinson played Doctor Who as well.
Oh, my God.
And they ended up having a woman who was great. And during, I think it was like the last season of Doctor Who, they had another female Doctor. She was black and she was good. Why the hell that wasn't the real Doctor for our current season, I don't understand.
I don't like Jodie Whittaker. I'm sorry. When they announced it was her, but my son and I were like, what the? They're doing what to the Doctor? Okay, that's it. We're not going to watch it anymore. We're done.
But they already did it with the Master, and that was Missy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was too bad,
though. Well, Missy was different because Missy was cool in my book. I loved Missy.
I know. Missy was her own thing, and that was
what
made it good. And then finding out it's the Doctor, it made sense why she had such a thing going after the Doctor.
Exactly. But to change the main Doctor to this woman, no, that didn't work. I'm sorry.
It was horrible.
But you know, having Missy go after as a Time Lord going after the Doctor, yeah, that was cool because she could do her own little thing and I loved it when she was her little evil self and the little things that she used to do and say. That was awesome. You know, we were like, oh my God, she's too funny, or ooh, look at how evil she's being. But it was great because she was going, you know, opposite of the Doctor. But to have the Doctor herself be a woman, and then it's like, okay, well, you can't have a woman chasing a woman because that makes no sense, you know. But the other interaction, yeah, it worked. But having the main Doctor as a woman, no, it just didn't work out for me. And I was like, okay, I'm done. But I think Peter Capaldi and David Tennant were the two best Doctors. Those were the two I was really hooked on.
Oh, I think I remember it now. Let's see if that worked. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Uh-oh. Here we go. Here we go. I won't be able to play the video, but I'll... Oh, come on.
No, I remember two main episodes from Doctor Who, and I know they have like different doctors and stuff, but just...
Yes.
One of them was Blink. You remember that one?
I think so. Yeah, Blink. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
The angels and stuff.
You know, oh, that was freaky, like, man. That freaked us out. No, don't blink. Crazy.
And that's like, that's a good episode to like introduce people to Doctor Who, like if they don't really know about the lore. If they just saw that episode like just by itself, that kind of just explains a lot of stuff, which is really
cool. And you're hooked. You get hooked instantly.
Here we go.
Oh my god.
What I really, really loved was the one with the different doctor, and I forgot the actor's name, but he's like really, really famous. It was the one with Vincent Van Gogh, and like they went to like back in time, and Vincent Van Gogh like went to the Louvre, and he saw his own art.
The time of the doctors. I remember that crossover one with all the different. Yes. Oh my god.
How cool
didn't
was
that one? Have the war doctor too. That one had the war doctor.
Daniel, that's the war doctor. That's the one. Oh my god. Yes, with the painting. Weird Wolf, remember?
Oh, that was so amazing. Yeah.
That was oh my god. That's one of my favorites too. When you see the different doctors together and when it's like, what the? I mean, that was freaking awesome.
Revelation. I know.
Yes, so, those were, they had some really, really good episodes. I was like, oh my god. The Cybermen always freaked me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, I know that face back there. Oh my gosh. He's always so evil.
Now, where is it? No, there's a... Oh, ads.
Imagine swallowing a nail. No.
Why
I don't
want
to swallow a nail, thank you.
Why do we have to have these ads?
No, doctor.
Seriously.
I do not want to swallow a nail, thank you.
So, here's another doctor.
About this.
Oh my god, that's too funny. Imagine swallowing a nail. No. Ooh.
Here we go. Here we go, the first woman doctor. No, seriously.
Right. Now, see, right. If she would have looked like that I could handle. But I don't know, Jodie Whittaker just, I don't know, she just doesn't fit the profile of a doctor.
So this was back in 2009. I mean, it ain't new. It really is not new.
It's crazy, though.
So, do we have any live comments, any questions?
A couple of people. Oh, here we go.
You are correct, Boombox.
But yeah, to me, if you're going to have a female doctor, they got to be a crazy character like Missy. You know, it can't be this, oh my God, she's so beautiful looking and normal looking. No, the doctor was always weird. I mean, look at the hair that Peter Capaldi had in the beginning, please.
Oh, have you seen this one? The David Tennant's when he's a teacher?
Oh, yes.
Oh my god, yes. I've seen every single David Tennant episode. Thank you very much.
Yeah, like I was saying before, sorry, this is like 2009.
Like the scarf. That classy scarf. Way back in the day, like early Star Trek. Why didn't they reuse the scarf, man? Like that was cool.
I don't know.
What about growing in the beard?
That's a thing too.
But you know, I got hooked on Doctor Who through my son, who got hooked on it through a teacher, and we were just like, okay, we gotta go watch Doctor Who, And I mean, we never missed the Christmas specials or anything like that. They were just so much fun.
Yeah, remember the Christmas special where they brought back the first Doctor?
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was something. That how about the one with How about with Santa Claus? Hello.
Whoa, I never saw that. Fucking spoiler alert. What? Go watch it then.
There's actually one.
Doctor? Are you kidding me?
Yes. They had an episode where they had the very first Doctor. It was so cool.
No way. Yes. Not that he's still alive and kicking though for it.
Yeah, he was alive for it. But, you know, they had some great crossovers bringing back past Doctors and just, oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
Wow. All right. Shall we move on to the next topic?
Sure.
Okay, so now we've got the train wreck. Red, do you want to go do this
God.
One?
I mean, sure, yeah. I mean, like... Here we go. Leftist loons are now targeting racist bird names. It's like, really, people? What's wrong with that now? I mean, birds have been named for what, how many years now?
Hundreds of years.
And now they're starting
Quite
to come up
time.
With this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But America, let's see, wait. So I just start with the NPR, right?
Yep. That's all we got.
Okay. Oh, yeah. But America is trying to come to terms with this complicated racial past by changing the names of institutions ranging from military bases to baseball teams. Oh, we know about that one.
And
don't
football
we?
Teams.
That's it, guys. Yeah. We can no longer call the Bluebirds Bluebirds because that utilizes color and color is racist and evil. We must call them color neutral birds.
I mean, it's absolutely crazy, though. Like this has been like this for, like, many, like, years, decades, and now all of a sudden with this woke political crap, now they want to change everything because they don't like it.
That is very disturbing.
Very much so.
Let's see what it says here. Kaufman, like many birders, hadn't paid much attention to the people behind the bird names. Oh, wow! I really care about what Kaufman has to say about this. That what? Bluebirds are bad? Robins? Oh, my goodness. Terrible. Hummingbirds?
Absolutely terrible.
How dare you?
Yeah, they don't hum, so you can't call them hummingbirds anymore. Really?
Well... It does go on.
But, you know, if the reason they're hummingbirds is their heartbeat actually sounds, it's beating so fast, it sounds like a humming sound. That's why they're called hummingbirds.
Well, maybe you're just a bigot that doesn't realize that some birds can't fly. I mean,
yeah.
How dare you, you evil birdist. Yeah.
No, they still fly. Exactly. They just fly through the water.
Emus. Emus are cool, but they can't fly. Mm.
Emus can
Think
win a war.
That.
I know. It's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, penguins can't fly in the air, but they can, like you said, fly through the water. They glide so fast in the ocean, it isn't funny. It's like they're basically flying their own way.
Oh, so now they're privileged. Hmm.
Oh, heaven forbid if you what's next? Are we going to have to change
global warming now, don't they?
I mean, what are we going to have to do? Change the name of flying fish and catfish and dogfish?
Honestly, don't give them any ideas because they're probably going to want to do that.
And oh my god, don't forget about the parrot fish.
No. No, stop it.
All right, look. I found out at work that there was a color that had its name changed. It was a very dark brown. And back in the day, it was called nigger brown. Now, I can understand changing that name, but bluebird? Seriously? What the hell?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? There's no... It's just
well,
the name of the color.
They're using color to discriminate. I mean, it's not necessarily all that different.
From what I could tell, they were describing the color as being a dark color. That's
so
it.
I guess we're going to have to change the name of Blackbirds too then.
Oh, how dare you yes. say such a thing,
Blackbird? We can't say Blackbird. Yikes. We can't say Bluebird. We can't say Yellow-bellied Sapsucker.
It's a bird of color, okay? That's what we call them now. It's a bird of color.
Oh, please. I'm sorry, but please. Oh, I guess we're going to have to go through the crayons and change Flamingo Pink.
Don't forget about Cardinal Red.
Chinese white was a primary color.
Birds of potential color.
Oh my god, this is just ridiculous. I'm sorry, but
this is what these people want.
Oh, then I guess we better change the name of the green sea turtle.
Oh well, it depends how green he is. It depends on his privilege. I mean, should we give him a wealth tax? I mean, how green really is he?
I guess we can't say blue and gold macaw either.
Oh no, that's way too much privilege. No.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the color of the bird is blue and gold. So what are you going to call it? Just a macaw? There's different colored macaws. You can't just say macaw because there's the blue and gold macaw. There's the rainbow colored macaw. There's green macaws. So what are you going to do?
The rainbow macaws are okay because they fit the narrative. So that's fine.
Yeah. But, you know, you can't just say, it's a macaw. Hello? There's different colors to classify the different macaws, you idiots.
Oh, my bugs.
Can't say green parrot. Can't say bluebird, you know, like we were saying. But, oh, my God, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Birds have had their names for a lot longer than some of us have had our names, and it's just baloney.
I know, but let's have one of the last articles. Sentences from this article. It says, once you start realizing that the kind of these historical characters, says Kaufman, the bird names take on a more sinister tone.
Oh, please!
A sinister tone, you said.
Really?
Oh, God. How damn sinister can a freaking bird name be?
Exactly.
What? And what the bonkers? What?
What the Sam Hill is going on? I'm sorry.
It's silly. It's a silly thing.
No, it's not silly. In my opinion, it's downright stupid.
Okay, just. I think the best way to make people understand about how language changes would be the word gay. So back in the 1960s, the word gay meant someone was happy.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was then back in the 20s even. Even in the 20s.
I'm pretty sure that's actually in the Flintstones theme song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep, gay we'll have time. A gay old time.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a happy time. Like, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, we're all having fun.
Yeah. Even back in the 20s, they said gay. But yeah, now gay takes on a different meaning, and it's whatever.
How we can describe a era.
What? Excuse me?
I get it.
No, you don't. Stop it.
Oh my god, you guys are gonna make me. Oh god.
No offense, you know, I'm not trying to go off topic with that one YouTube comment with from Purple Eyes. What's up with his re?
I don't know. Purple is pretty damn cool. Whatever.
But no, it's amazing how different words take on different meanings depending on the time of the everything of whatever is going on, and how something simple as what gay used to mean, you were just happy, you know, having a good time, go lucky, and now some people find it and use it in an offensive way. And to me, in my opinion, a gay person is a happy person. So there you go. You're still happy, in my opinion.
Anyone see any of the outtakes of Back to the Future?
No, I haven't.
Well, one of the outtakes, Marty brings up the term gay. And the doc's response from the from 1955 is, why wouldn't he want to be happy?
Morty, everyone's happy. Everyone's
and they had to delete this, and they deleted that scene.
But, you know, it is something how, you know, like back in the 60s, you know, not to offend anybody who might be listening or listen to this, but, you know, being called a nigger was a bad thing. Nowadays, you know, black people call each other nigger and it's not used as an offensive way.
Well, they use it in rap a lot. You know, they use it in like their songs and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like not with brotherhood. It's not with an ER, it's with an A.
Yeah, but back in the 60s, that was very offensive. But nowadays, it's not offensive. They just drop two letters, put on a third letter, and it's not offensive anymore. So
it's just like thrown around.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's okay to use it now, but back in, you know, in the 60s, it was considered a bad thing to be called that.
Well, so, yeah, it's very strange how language can change just over the course of decades.
You know, things that I was told not to say when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, you know, things that were offensive then are okay now, but yet some of the things that were okay then are considered offensive now. And I'm like,
that's a curse word directed towards a particular type of group of people.
You know, but it's not just that. It's other things too, you know, and it's like, you know, it was okay to be called this, but now you can't call someone that. And before, okay, you couldn't call someone this, but now you can. And it's like bizarro opposite world from the time when I was a teenager to now that I'm approaching 50 years old. It's like, okay, where am I and what's going on with this world?
Yeah, your childhood is different from mine.
Amen to that, kid.
You've got the whole pride thing now where you have people in literal full BDSM just walking around out in public.
Oh, yes. Please don't make me vomit about
pride. I mean, hell, I thought... So in my state, we've got something called Mona. And I heard of a art piece there where it was just basically some dude humping a sheep. That's it.
Oh, my God!
And I'm thinking, wait, why is that art? I have not gone to Mona since it opened, and I do not intend to go there now. The amount of shit I've heard coming out of that place is just insane. And I can't comprehend why that would be considered art.
Is some freaking people marching down the streets of New York City with their leather and straps on and running around. That's art. For them, because they're expressing themselves, right?
God,
oh hooray!
Yeah, I saw somebody expressing themselves the other day. They were laying on the ground. Well, here's somebody expressing themselves. I actually saw a homeless person laying on the ground, butt naked.
Oh, so you're in California?
Yeah. No, I'm in Hawaii, and I was like, okay.
Well, you should see what happens in California, because they actually have some poop patrol.
Oh, I know about all of that. I've heard about that. A lot of it's in San Francisco in a certain Nancy Pelosi's district. But we won't go there about that old crony. Don't get me started on her.
You mean the demon? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, her.
Yeah, yeah.
The governor's aunt.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. And he's digging himself a big hole to where he ain't going to get reelected. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, that's something. Ants have also been targeted by the new sort of world thing. Apparently, they're being given their a neutral gender now.
What?
No, seriously.
Oh, my God.
You can't even leave ants alone. They're not hurting you. Leave them be.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, but
people have gone too far with everything now.
Well, talking about too far, how about USA Today?
Uh-oh.
No, really.
Yeah. hybrid baby. Okay, that's I'm sorry.
That's the best photo I could find. Screen grab. So has anyone seen Sweet Tooth yet?
Oh, no. My God. No.
I don't believe so.
It was honestly just a bit dull. I didn't like it, to be honest.
God.
I mean, it ended on a cliffhanger, and I'm like, so the kids are basically being held by an army. Okay.
That seems boring.
No, that seems kind of scary. Oh, you don't want to be held by an army? Ugh.
No.
No thanks.
No, thank you.
Live action adaptation of Jeff Lemire. I hate, can't pronounce the names for the life of me. The comic series Sweet Tooth, the sudden appearance of half human, half animal hybrids during a pandemic, which I have to admit, bad timing.
You think?
Or you could think the best timing, because people are all locked in their homes and now they're being exposed to the internet.
Who
wouldn't want to be a half human hybrid?
Prompts many regular humans to being hunted and murdered by hybrids out of fear and quite literally
obesity. What? Hunting people? What are you talking about? This is not the same article. Is it?
Tamed with a Sweet Tooth premiere. That time with the Sweet Tooth premiere. The June 4th weekend edition of USA Today hit newsstands wrapped in a full front page advertisement about the show's style of multiple tab. I'm losing it right now.
No, thank you.
Multiple style tabbed out stories about human animal hybrids and concerns they might be a national security risk. Hybrid babies born
across
the world reacts
That's
to
it.
A
that
new
is
generation
exactly
half
what we
human,
have to
half animal.
From this article, that furries are a national security risk.
What gets me is
human animal hybrids.
These aren't half and half.
Says the American government. No way.
That's a no thank you, and it's like you said, it's trying to make a thing about furries. So, no, furries are not a security risk. Furries are not half animal, half human. I'm sorry, but you guys are so full of it, and take that crap off.
Yeah, this last paragraph kind of makes me wonder if these people actually think it's real. You know, these so-called, you know, Hong Kong journalists. And believe that they're actually reporting on the news. Hybrid babies born across the United States and the world. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, right.
Growing concern. Yeah. Douche Dog says, furries? A national security risk? Yes.
Yeah, yes, no. I don't think
we
so.
We are a national security risk. Hybrid animals are everywhere. You're dead right. All over the place.
Right. So in the show itself, you do have a lot of people who generally seem to fear the hybrids after they're born. There's a lot of this xenophobia as well in the actual show itself, and they really rub it in hard.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
This is a... They show the slow decline over the first series of how the world went from what it's like today to how it became post-apocalyptic. I love the way The Walking Dead did it. Fear the Walking Dead, however, where it started off as, we're protesting because police are shooting innocent people. It's like, they're shooting dead bodies that are up and walking around. And what happens during the protest?
They did that very well, I must say.
They managed to convert like a shit ton of people into zombies in like literally one night. But people not even paying attention to what's going on and reacting to what they thought was going on.
Yeah, but it was like the kids, like, you know, sharing videos that they saw like on TikTok or some shit. And the teacher was like, "Oh, well, we shouldn't really be talking about this." But they were showing like videos like on their phones or whatever. And, like, that's how it started.
I'll just scoot down to the next paragraph in this. While advertorials have become common in the modern era, modern media landscape, what made Sweet Tooth piece stand out was how little about the suggestion they were actual pieces of news. Regular readers of the IO9, perhaps, would have pegged them for what they were, but everyone else... There was one word, disclosure, is a small print above the headline. Everything else about the ads, from the photos provided by Netflix to the tone of the writing to the fact that the ads were acting as the front page of a major newspaper, suggested that they were hard news meant to be taken at face value. It's not clear how many markets the advertorial were placed in, but we could not find them in a cursory search of New York City nor Westchester County, New York.
Uh-oh.
There's a Westchester.
Picking on New York. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I take zero offense to that.
I have no idea what they're talking about.
Mm-mm. Me neither.
I don't think they know what they're talking about either.
Probably baking themselves, trying to feel better after their nonsensical storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know, I've heard other YouTubers bring this up before, but I have too as well. You would think after the War of the Worlds, people may have gotten a little bit more concerned about what they put out in media.
Oh, yeah. Wait, are you talking about, like, the 1940s, like, broadcast where everyone got freaked out about Martians invading?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think people would be a little bit more skeptical. But
well, you would think people would be more smart. That did cause a stir.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you get idiots out there that think, oh, drinking an enormous amount of salt water is a very good idea. Yeah, right.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, well, there's that, what is it, like that juice thing? Can't think of the first name of it.
I'm not sure what you're on about.
Yeah.
There's this crazy lunatic suggesting this really high salt drink that kind of makes you dead.
Yeah,
that's the stuff.
There we go. Jilly Juice. Yes, she's a...
Yeah.
She promotes waterfalls. And that's healthy, apparently.
Well, I know why one people will fall.
I saw her in Dr. Phil. That was some bonkers nonsense. It really was, though. Like, come on. Jilly Juice? Fermented cabbage crap with, like, some salt and water? Like, no.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah,
it'll cure your broken limbs. It'll cure AIDS. It'll stop you from being gay.
She yeah, like back in the that. Day when it was drink aloe vera juice. Oh God.
Wait, that stuff's. I didn't think you could actually consume that stuff.
Oh, I hope not.
They actually had a thing out in the 90s that was. Basically, aloe vera juice. It was supposed to help make you healthier.
Oh,
I would have thought drinking water would have been healthier.
Yeah, exactly. Then, of course, there was the cabbage soup diet to help you lose weight.
Exactly. Jilly juice, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
People
will try to believe anything. You know, if anyone says it's healthy for you, everyone's going to just try to follow like sheep.
Yep.
All right. Noble, what's our next topic going on right now?
Okay, so this shitstorm.
Yep, here we go.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. All right. So let's read this. It says, Onion says,
Onion? Why'd you say Onion?
I'm sorry, Union. I'm sorry, whatever. Union! The Union from West Oahu. Says Union says ongoing closure of health clinic in
Nanakuli
is equity issue.
Yeah.
So what is this all about? There's an equity issue. Do you guys know what that even means when it comes to equity issue? There's a difference between equity and equality. But let's see what this article says.
Yes, the thing is at the time of this pandemic, there was two small clinics that were closed down by Kaiser temporarily because of the size of them. And, you know, with the social distancing and stuff, they couldn't keep these two clinics open. One was located here in Nanakuli, where I live. The other one is in a more richer area known as Hawaii Kai. Well, here we are over a year later, and the Hawaii Kai clinic has been reopened already. The one here in Nanakuli is still closed. And wow, it's like, so... okay, so you don't want to send the people who live in Hawaii Kai 10 miles to their next closest Kaiser clinic, but you expect people who live on the very end of the west side in a city called Makaha to drive 14 miles to their nearest Kaiser clinic.
And this isn't even like about driving, because this has to also do with like, let's say if you're very sick and you're on like the far west and you have to get to Honolulu, you have to get a ferry
it's like on a good day, it takes me 45 minutes just to get to the beginning part of downtown Honolulu on a good day. Right. And that's driving on the freeway. But there are people who unfortunately don't have transportation, so they have to catch the bus or order an Uber or take a cab or order the handy van, which is for the handicapped or the elderly. Now, the thing that sucks about this clinic not being reopened is right there next door, basically, there is a group of senior apartments, and some of those seniors have Kaiser, so they are used to just walking across and there's their doctor. But with the clinic not being opened, and these are people who unfortunately don't have family that they can rely on, and they have to try to get a handy van or use their money that they have limited resources to get a cab, and taxis are very, very expensive here in Hawaii, or order an Uber, and it's harder for them to get their appointments. Like over here on the west side, the other cities, which are Maile, Waianae, and Makaha, people could just take a bus known as the 40, take the bus down, get off, and the clinic's right across the street from the bus stop. To get to the new clinic, it's a lot further, and the bus stop is two blocks from the clinic for the nearest bus stop. And when you got somebody who's in a walker or a wheelchair, it's harder for them to get to their doctor appointments. And yes, there's a nice, beautiful new clinic, but it's harder access for a lot of people on this side. And we're like, okay, wait a minute. So the rich people get their clinic open to where they don't have to travel further, but we get ours still closed. And why? And the thing is if they do not reopen this clinic, 57 jobs will be moved from Hawaii to California. So 57 healthcare workers will be out of a job when we need healthcare workers seriously on this island, because it is harder to get people to come from the mainland to Hawaii to work here. You know, a lot of people leave here instead of coming to here because of the way things are with the economy and the prices and all of that. So to have people lose their jobs hurts us more than some people realize.
Honestly,
yeah, that's the thing about it around here. Check this out. This is how much Hawaii really cares. Like they care about the rich side, but they don't give a fuck about us on the other side, on the west side.
No, see, we are what.
This is where they get proven wrong.
Yeah, we are like a redheaded stepchild. We get treated like crap. We are the afterthought. There was a bridge that was in dire repair, and they waited and waited and waited and waited. And now all of a sudden, oh, okay, now we're going to fix the bridge. Yeah, it's going to take 3 years. And it's like they keep screwing with the lanes to where one side has two lanes open for part of the day, then the other side has the two lanes open. But it's called contraflow. So it's like you never have all four lanes open, and traffic is a nightmare when there's only one road that basically goes in and out that services four cities on this side. And no other way in or out.
Oh, hey, Noble, I see a comment on YouTube that you should actually highlight that Deutsch Dog actually said about the British. You should actually point that out. So he said that if Hawaii had stayed British, you wouldn't have the problems now.
We probably wouldn't.
That's actually a good point.
No, that's not a good point, because that's completely wrong. The British never colonized Hawaii. You know who did? America. Queen Liliuokalani. She was the last queen that ever was on Hawaii before in the late 1800s that America finally actually conquered Hawaii.
Right, but it was the British that actually, because if you look at the Hawaiian state flag, it actually has the Union Jack on the Hawaii state flag.
Yeah, but
okay, this is something I have no idea about.
maybe we shouldn't get too much into history.
But anyway, it's like, this is ridiculous how, you know, yes, you give us a nice new clinic, but you're not realizing that there are people who can't get to that nice new clinic. You know, it's harder, and we do have a lot of people who they're basically set in their ways. They like going to where they're going to go. They like knowing where their staff is. They like people who know them. As soon as they walk in the door, you know, they're greeted with a smile and by their name, you know, not treated like a name or like a number, basically.
You know, the thing is, I don't like to interrupt, but, you know, they're basically treating all of our elderly people like crap who've actually paved the road for us people here.
Yeah, our kapunas, as we call our elderly, our kapunas, you know, they're basically put on a shelf or on the side. They're not, you know, they say, oh, yeah, we're all about our kapunas. We're all about our kapunas. Yeah, if they live on the west side, they're forgotten, which to me is bullshit. It shouldn't matter where you live on this island. You know, everybody should be treated equally. And there is no equality, basically. It depends on where you live is how your side gets treated. You know, they put... oh, my God. They put, you know, the downtown and Waikiki and Hawaii Kai side first. And the west and the west side is the lower of everything else. And it just drives us crazy that no matter how much we raise our voices and say, we need this, we need that, it sucks. Because it takes us 10 times longer to get something as the same thing. Like if Hawaii Kai needs something, they get it within a few months. If the West Side needs the same thing, it takes us years to get it. And that's not fair. And it just drives us all crazy. I've served the last couple of years on our neighborhood board. I have heard a lot, seen a lot, and there is stuff that is just not getting done. And this right now, to me, is the biggest thing. My family themselves have been going to this clinic since 2004. So, you know, it's like family, and the employees that are being sent to different clinics. You know, they want to be back over here because it's easier for them. This is their home. You know, a lot of them have been at this clinic since it opened. So, you know, you've got people that don't like going further, or like I said, they can't go further. And it's like Kaiser just, they care more about the almighty dollar than their patients. And it's ridiculous.
And this is happening in other states, too, at the same time. So we just wanted to bring this up because this has been a major issue, not just for us, but this is probably happening a lot everywhere else, too.
But, yeah, so Kaiser is they need to listen. Hey, you know, we need this clinic. Oh, well, we're going to make a decision, but we're not going to close it, from what I had heard. But now they're talking about closing it, when first said they weren't going to close it. But now they're talking about possibly by the fall making a decision to close it permanently, which is going to hurt a lot of people. Right now it's just sitting there doing nothing.
It's empty.
But yet they were fixing the air conditioning. They were working on it. But yet now you're thinking of closing it when you already put money into it, fixing it up. Does that make any sense to you?
It does make sense if that was some kind of a scam.
Yeah, exactly. But so it's...
It's frustrating.
It's very, very frustrating how things are happening, and, you know, it's costing people their jobs. People are leaving this island, you know, as it is. The unemployment system is so screwed up, it isn't funny.
Yeah, well, don't forget, we could also blame our stupid governor, who's a Democrat.
Don't even go there, Daniel. I mean, Mighty Red Wolf. Don't even go there. I didn't want to get started on the jellyfish.
Yeah, that's what he is. Yeah, you can actually ask why we call him a jellyfish.
I've never heard that before, but I do kind of like it.
Well, the reason that we refer to our governor as a jellyfish is because he's spineless.
And also, don't forget about the frog joke.
Yeah, he sounds like Kermit the Frog when he speaks.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
yeah,
that jellyfish.
You would have to look that up.
Yeah, jellyfish have no spines. So we call him the jellyfish because he's spineless.
Yeah, I thought it was more like a blob, 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 blob kind of
situation. Yeah, he's basically a blob with that just does nothing in the beginning of the pandemic. And we were like, okay, you're letting these people tell you what to do, but you're not standing up for what we need to do. But yet the lieutenant governor was standing up for us, but the governor was doing nothing. So even the newspaper had a cartoon calling him a jellyfish. So what does that tell you?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But you know, nobody is weighing in on this. Our state leaders, our West Side leaders have nothing to say about this that I have heard. It was brought up at our last board meeting, and I jumped in and talked about what I knew, and then I got interviewed for the article, and now here I am talking about it with you guys. But it's just something that I'm going to keep fighting for, and I'm going to see this to the end, whether I'm still on the board or not, or if I ever get back on the board. But I am seeing this through one way or the other to the finish, whether they decide to reopen the clinic or close the clinic. But I am going to be in on this until the end, because this is something very close to me, my heart, my family, and my community. You know, it's something that a lot of people don't know how to speak up on it. So I was told that I'm actually being like a voice for a lot of people, and I'm honored to have that distinction, and I'm proud to be doing this on behalf of my community.
You really are. And it's very humbling to have someone like you on our show today, just to be able to talk about these issues that a lot of people kind of ignore. But yeah, we really do have to bring this to the forefront,
and so, I am very honored that you have me on your show so I can speak about this. It's like, oh, okay, somebody wants to hear what I have to say, and if I can get this out to as many people, and hey, let Kaiser know we need this clinic here in Nanakuli. It's very, very important to a lot of people, especially our kupunas, our seniors, who just don't have the resources to go further out of this community to get their health care. Because we actually have a lot of diabetics on this side. So, you know, they're not going to want to go further, or they, like I said, they can't, because, you know, some people have to, unlike my mom, who fortunately gets her supplies for free, a lot of them don't get their supplies for free. And to have to spend extra money to get a ride to go further, you know, that's taking away their food money or their rent money or whatever. And it sucks, because a lot of people have to pay high prices for their medication. And I wish that all of our seniors didn't have to pay for their medicines, because I think if you've gotten to a certain age and you've worked so hard in your life, you shouldn't have to pay for your medicine. You should be getting your medicine free. But unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever see that day. Not in my lifetime, maybe in my child's lifetime or grandkids' lifetime. God, you know, who knows? But, you know, they've worked hard and they deserve to not have to worry about that. But a lot of them, okay, do I eat or do I pay for my medicine? Which is it?
That's a tough decision.
You know? And it sucks when you have to decide, do I take my medicine to stay alive or do I eat to stay alive? And I thank God that my parents don't have to go through that. I hope my child never has to go through that. I thank God I don't have to go through that. My medication's actually covered. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, it sucks that our senior citizens actually have to make that choice, because they are on a fixed income. And you know,
that's not a Hawaiian problem. I mean, that's an American problem.
Oh yeah, that's an American problem. That's what, yeah, I mean,
that's why
all
we decided to bring
you to know
that place. Yeah, of course,
you know, that's all of our seniors. But you know, with specifically here in Hawaii, you know, you've got people that, because it is so high here too, and you know, a lot of them are in senior apartments and they don't have family. Those that don't have family or caregivers, you know, my parents are blessed that they have Daniel, my son, and I to help. And you know, we thank God that we came home when we did, because both of my parents, their health has declined over the last few years since we've been home. So I thank God we came home when we did, because I can't imagine my dad having to do what he used to do now. There's no way. But you know, you look at these people that have no children or grandchildren to help them, you know, they're on their own. So you know, those are the ones that, not just here but everywhere, that have to make those hard decisions. And it's like, that sucks. You shouldn't have to make those decisions. You've earned this time in your life when you're supposed to be relaxing, enjoying your golden years, but yet you have to decide, do I buy my medicine or do I buy dinner? You know, and or do I pay this bill or that bill? Or do I risk losing my electricity? Or do I risk losing my telephone because I can't afford it? And I just hate that for all of our seniors across the U.S., even around the world, period. You know, nobody should have to make that decision, no matter what.
Yeah, I agree. That's really tough.
But I do thank you for letting me talk about this, because this is something I could go on and on about.
Oh, no, it's totally fine. Yeah, of course.
But, you know, it's hard, you know, because when this was brought up at the board meeting, I wanted to start crying right away. I just wanted to, like, grab the microphone and say, oh my God, I know exactly what you're talking about, and yada, 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 you know. But I had to wait my turn, and I had to act like an adult because it was being filmed, so I was on camera at the time.
Well, but I do hope that people can listen to this and that your message resonates.
I hope it does too, and I'm
so
just grateful for this opportunity. I thank you guys so much for this. And thank you, Mighty Red Wolf, for giving me this opportunity.
Well, of course, you know I always have your back.
I know you do, and I love you for it.
All right, so I believe it's about time to wrap this up.
Yep. So, Avera, do you have anything to say for your final goodbye for today?
Sure. I hope everyone enjoyed this show as much as we had as much fun making it. And please do look into Liz and all the hard work she's been doing. Really fantastic stuff.
Thank you so much. You're going to make me cry.
No, you're awesome.
Oh, well, I hope you guys have awesome. A great night.
And let's go on to Mighty.
I mean, you know what? I'm glad that we brought this up because, you know what? Our seniors who have, you know, have literally paved the path for all of us to be here today should not be treated like this.
Liz, how about yourself? Did you have anything to say to add for the final goodbye for today?
I'm just blessed that I was given this opportunity. I think you guys are awesome. You're wonderful. And I hope things continue. And I would love to do this again on any subjects. I really had fun doing this.
Awesome. So great to have you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I myself have some cleaning to go and do because hopefully someone bought me some isopropyl alcohol. You think public venues would keep up when you turn around and say, I'm running out of isopropyl alcohol. Okay, you know, yeah, get us a quote. Running low on isopropyl alcohol. I haven't got any yet. Oh, you know, yeah, we'll get it for you. I ran out of isopropyl alcohol. I can't do the cleaning tomorrow. Oh, yeah, you know, we'll get you some this week. 2 months later. Why haven't you been cleaning? Because no one bought me the isopropyl alcohol. Why did you do that? I swear, sometimes it's psychotic. Anyway, our episodes are available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, BitChute, and whatever ugly creature decides to crawl up out of the internet to say, hey, we're a streaming service. Later's all.